You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hi, guys. Tennis.com podcast here on a Friday. I'm Ed McGrogan talking with Steve Tigner. And we're going to get into tomorrow's match, which has just been settled. It is going to be Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic in the Dubai final. Obviously, a rematch of their Australian Open semi, where Djokovic beat Federer in straight sets a few weeks ago. Today, Federer beat Richard Gasquet, and Djokovic beat Thomas Berdych in the semis, so the 1-2 final came to fruition. So, Steve, I just want to ask you, first off, before even getting to any of the matches, really, what do you think, I guess, is the importance or takeaway from what this match, what the result of this match is going to be? This isn't a slam, nor is it even a Masters event. It's just a 500. So I'm just wondering what you think, you know, kind of what this means overall, no matter the result.
Yeah, it's a 500. It's also a big appearance fee, 500. I always felt like Dubai was sort of half an exhibition. You kind of get that feeling through some of the matches so far. But no, it's an important match. I think it's because, you know, it's a real match between these two guys. They play, seem to play all the time. But now, after the Australian Open and the way that Djokovic beat Federer, I think this takes on a little more urgency for Federer. He, you know, he in these smaller tournaments, he's owned Djokovic, but now he's lost two straight Grand Slams. I don't think he wants to lose to Djokovic again, even though this isn't a Grand Slam. Whereas for Djokovic, maybe not as important. He has the big win for the year right now. Obviously, he'd want to keep it going, but I feel like Federer will have will be more motivated to win this match. And yeah, if he does win, then that sort of puts him back at least on, you know, equal terms going ahead with Djokovic. That gives him a win this year over him and sort of lessens a little of the significance of Melbourne, or at least gives him a little positive momentum going forward.
Yeah, I do think for Federer, especially with Indian Wells and Miami right around the block, it would be more important just to get that sort of a recent signature win, like you said, and not coming off two straight tournament defeats. And for Djokovic, I think with his win at the Australian and the way he did it, I just think he's sort of occupied a new piece of turf, I guess, on the tennis landscape. I think a lot of people have put Djokovic pretty much in the same, pretty much near Federer and Nadal, right in that elite group, and there's little reason based on current form not to suggest it. So I think it's interesting how he's going to be, I guess, defending that new sort of aura, I guess, about him. He looked unstoppable at times in Australia, and so far he's, even though he got away with a couple sort of spotty performances this week, he's done just as well getting to this final too.
Yeah, he hasn't looked that great. Federer's looked better. Federer hasn't had a lot of resistance. He's had, you know, three relatively routine matches, and Gasquet pretty much handed it to him at the end of this one today. Djokovic has been much either rustier, or he doesn't like these conditions as much. He looked pretty. He had some of his usual physical problems in the heat today, and didn't play well for a set. But I was impressed that he still managed to turn around. Berdych got hurt, obviously, but before that, Djokovic had really righted himself, and it didn't seem to be. Once he lost the first set, he lost the first set tiebreaker 7-5. I had the feeling he was going to go away. It just was, you know, wasn't his day. But he didn't let that happen, and that shows a sort of, you know, what kind of confidence he has right now.
So that was a pretty sort of a surprise turnaround for you. You thought that Berdych today was just going to end up being, you know, his day after that first set breaker.
Yeah, Djokovic, you know, Berdych looked like he was the better player in the first set. He deserved to win that, even though it was 7-5 in the tiebreaker. Djokovic had completely lost his backhand. He couldn't make it during the tiebreaker, just three or four in a row. Looked like he really didn't want to be there. Looked pretty out of sorts physically. And then to lose a close tiebreaker, I felt like that's, you know, this is the kind of second set that could go pretty quickly against him. But he didn't let that happen.
Yeah, no. And you're right, that would be sort of the cruelest way to lose and everything, but you're right, just turned it around there. And for Federer, like you said, this match just finished a few minutes ago. It was kind of as per usual for the first set. Federer, coming into this match, faced three players that he'd never faced before, but none of them were what I would consider big threats to him. And then against Gasquet, he easily had his way with him in the first set. Second set, it looked like it was going to go three. Gasquet hands him a break when serving for the set, and then looks even worse on his following service game. And Federer even avoids the second set tiebreaker, just really takes care of Gasquet, and just kind of, I guess, reestablishes pretty much everything you might want to think about Gasquet in pressure moments. But it was
Gasquet had come through in the round before against Simone serving for the match. It looked like he was going to blow that, and he came out and won that game. But this time it was back to his old form. I feel like Federer is the most interesting thing that's happened to Federer at this tournament. We hear how distracted he gets during matches and loses concentration and has songs floating through his head and thinks about what he's going to do for dinner after the match. That seems to be the kind of tournament it's been for Federer. He's been able to lose concentration and still he hasn't lost a set.
Yeah. So I wonder for the final I don't think either player you could say is coming into this final or this encounter between them with the same sort of just momentum coming into Australia. Federer in Australia had the big runs before in the winter events and were great through the first few rounds. Djokovic obviously sort of hit a new gear in Melbourne. And I think since both of them, I think you might consider them a little under that level. I think there's a greater chance for some ups and downs in this match. I just sort of feel like this final tomorrow is sort of has maybe three sets kind of on it. I'm not really sure who takes. I think Federer is a better form by now, but that might not mean anything considering what Djokovic has done in the past few matches. That's something that he hasn't really answered yet. So I think it's three sets, but I don't know exactly the result. But what do you think maybe could come up tomorrow?
I think the one important thing, yeah, Federer is in better form, but one important aspect or one thing to watch maybe is we've seen matches where Federer might come in the past with better form or favored against Nadal, and Nadal will win that match. But we've always felt that Nadal was a little bit in Federer's head. Federer didn't have the same kind of confidence against Nadal that he does against everyone else. Is that going to be true against Djokovic? Is that win in Australia by Djokovic and the one at the U.S. Open, is that going to play any role in how Federer thinks of this match and his matchup now with Djokovic? Is it going to make him doubt his ability to beat Djokovic? We'll see. That's one interesting aspect because on form, he should win.
Yeah, that's one thing I think about Federer that we're going to see in the coming years. I was thinking about is we have not really seen Federer. He's so rarely the underdog in a match that you wonder how much he embraces. Not that I'm saying he's the underdog here, but it's definitely not a sure handicap either way, is how Federer embraces that underdog role maybe going forward once, you know, in the coming years. It seems pretty likely that eventually he will be, the clear underdog against X opponent or Y opponent. So I just want to see what happens when he's not the overwhelming favorite in matches, how he responds. I think a lot of people are kind of wondering that since he won his 15th Grand Slam, is just what is his motivation really in all this past 30 years old, etc.
Yeah, I think the motivation for the future is a big factor.
And, are you there, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't here for a little bit, but now I'm here.
Yeah, we lost that. So yeah, that'll be, you know, so I think there's some short term, there's some long term stuff that you can maybe take away from this match tomorrow. So it should be a good one. That's on at 10 a.m. on Tennis Channel, and that'll wrap up that tournament on a Saturday. A couple other tournaments actually end tomorrow too. I just want to mention two quick ones. First, I just want to mention before we get into Doha and Wozniacki, since we didn't touch on her earlier this week, I gotta say Nicolas Almagro. This is pretty impressive winning two clay events in a row. These are, you know, events that the top players might not necessarily be in, but he's actually looking to make it three in a row in Acapulco, one of the venues that has been not the best traveling destination lately for players, but a lot of people are still there, and he's looking to make it three tournaments in a row. I don't know if you've caught any of that on TV at all.
That swing seems to bring out, you know, streaks. I think Almagro's won a couple in a row in the past, and Juan Carlos Ferrero won a couple or maybe even three in a row on that South American swing a few years ago. But yeah, Almagro is—he's like the top of the second tier of clay quarters. I guess he's the Nadal of South America. He, you know, he's a great player, and there is just something that he lacks consistency-wise. It keeps him from, you know, say winning the French Open, but put him in these tournaments, he's more explosive than most of the guys he's going to face down there. But pretty good final four with. He and Baluchi and Dolgopolov also coming off his Australian Open win. That'll be interesting, the semis and final down there.
Yep, Dolgopolov just beat Wawrinka last night, and Ferrer's the other guy in that final four. And then let's just, since we didn't get a chance to touch on her before, Caroline Wozniacki, new number one this week. She's into the final of Doha. She's going to get either Yankovic or Zvonareva tomorrow. That match is going on right now. Pretty as good a start as you could want, from trying to slay the barrage of questions, everything. She won Dubai last week, and now Doha here. She's back into another final, so this is going to give her just more ranking points, I guess, to keep it going. But, you know,
yeah, an impressive comeback. You know, she left Australia pretty crushed. She was in tears after that. She had a match point against Lee Na to make the final, and she didn't convert it, but then to come back and win Dubai without dropping a set, a tournament she's never even been to the semis of before, and just the way that she beat Kuznetsov in the final, she clearly decided that she needed to be more aggressive. It's the thing that people have been asking about her, what she needs to do, and clearly she does need to do that. And she thought, you know, she decided that to play Kuznetsov, who had been playing pretty well, she Wozniacki had to take over the points. I don't think anyone would have expected her to do that against Kuznetsova, but she did. And she won that match really very easily. Kuznetsova was awful as well. But Wozniacki's continued that this week, winning easily, beating, you know, solid opponents very easily. She's, you know, Wozniacki's number one in the world. Clijsters is the player of the moment, I guess you could say. But right now it seems to be Wozniacki is still improving and doing the things that, you know, that people have been asking her to do to become more assertive on the court.
Yeah, I didn't see her win over Bartoli today. It was 6-1, 6-1. I can't say if Bartoli sort of played herself out of that one, sort of maybe like Kuznetsova did, or if it was just a reflection of Wozniacki trying to consciously get a more aggressive game plan going, which I think you said we've seen the past couple of rounds in this tournament and the last one. So we'll see how that plays out tomorrow, and then, of course, Federer Djokovic 2 in the morning. You'll have a write-up on that later tomorrow, so mm-hmm. Check back to the site for that, everyone. And Steve and I and everyone will be back next week as well for another podcast. So thanks for listening. Tune in again.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.